Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Shotgun Hackenberg, goes right Belton, rolls far side, now looks back near side for Belton at the 10 to the 5 near corner. Touchdown Penn State!
End over end, hits at the 5. No, he's going to take it at the 5. Ball is loose as Turber lost it, and it's a touchdown for the Bulldogs! The Bulldogs recover it with Hunter Letterman, the 6'4", 185 senior. Turber decided to return it, tried a little shake-and-bake move, and lost the ball. And Jersey Shore hops on it for the turnover touchdown.
Good snap, back, looks left, fires, caught at the three-yard line. James, touchdown, Penn State!
English under center, hands it off to Charles. Charles stood up, but bulls his way into the end zone for the touchdown.
Fourth and a half yard, Beaver Stadium alive. Takes the snap, Hundley up the middle, doesn't get it. Bill off the edge. Penn State takes over on down. Spectacular work up front of the Nittany Lions. Austin Johnson led the way.
Schlegel, no time at all, he is dropped. That ball is loose. Jersey Shore's got it. And racing in for a touchdown is Zach Miller on the fumble recovery at the 35-yard line. A 35-yard touchdown recovery and run by Zach Miller.
They run a straight play. Yes, they do. Play action, Hackenberg. Christian waits. Wide open, James. He's got the 20. Far side, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Penn State. 44-yard strike for Christian Hackenberg to Jesse James, and that will put it away with 8:58 to go.
And today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Mitchell Report came out today, and to no one's surprise, and I've talked about this with Kevin for about a year now, Kev.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier. For about the last year, you've been saying it's coming.
I thought the bowl ban would be lifted. What I did not expect was the return to 85 scholarships immediately. And that part has come to fruition. And now a step in the direction of normalcy for the football program and for the players. And it's been important to me for the players. And I look at the seniors in particular. There are 9 fifth-year seniors on this team. And the 9 fifth-year seniors have done nothing except work hard, represent the university well. All 9 have their degrees. And those are the type of individuals you'd like to see have the opportunity to go to bowl games and have a chance to play for a championship. And that now is at hand. George Mitchell, a man of great integrity, released his report today. We've talked about that repeatedly, that I thought he was going to be a very important player in all this. The reason I thought he'd be an important player is because he's universally respected by everyone. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter what your politics are. People like and respect George Mitchell. And he doesn't have a dog in the hunt. His job is to sit there. You know, he's getting paid, obviously. But most times when people are in a position like him, all right, you feel like part of their job is to find something to validate their spot. Well, he's at the stage of his life. He doesn't feel like he has to validate anything. He just tells you what he sees. And what he's seen is 119 recommendations made in the free report. Virtually all, if not all, are implemented, or else they're on the way to being fully implemented. And he's used that as part of his basis and what they've done in the athletic department. And you look at the football program, and you've had football players staying out of trouble. You've had football players graduating. You've had football players working hard and playing at a high level. I think it's amazing they've won 17 games in 2-plus years, considering everything. And now they get a chance. And I also felt, I'm going to go back to what, July, Kevin? And I told you I thought that the key date was going to be September 12th, that they had to know before September 12th one way or the other on the bowl ban. And the reason I said that is that I think it's very important for a team to know before they play their first conference game exactly what all the stakes happen to be. If the stakes are the same as they've been, so be it. If the stakes now include a chance to win the division, a chance to play in the Big Ten championship game, a chance to go to a bowl game, they should know that too before they play their first conference game. And we found out today on September 8th, 4 days early, that they get all of that back. Long term for James Franklin. I don't know the numbers and how the numbers pan out. I don't know that. So I don't know if you can jump from 72 to 85 in a year. I don't know. But it gives his staff the flexibility to get there. Because right now, Penn State's at 72. Miles Diefenbach, Ben Klein, and Jake Kiley are all out right now. So actually, you're playing with 69 scholarship guys. Now, other teams have injuries, too. It's not like Rutgers doesn't have injuries. So I'm not, you know, so to sit there, it'd be unfair to say, hey, look, Rutgers is playing with 85 and Penn State with 69. Because they have guys banged up, too. But just on the numbers, 85 to 72, you know, that now I think James Franklin has a chance to change the depth equation on his football team in a short period of time, and he can do it across the board because he has a full complement of scholarships to work with. So short term, the players in this team know they have a chance to play for the division championship, have a chance to play for the conference championship, know they have a chance to play it in a bowl game. That they can control their own destiny in that regard. So short term, that's what they have. And long term for James Franklin, it now opens it up where he knew he had 25 scholarships available to him this year, but now the numbers work out in such a way where he can get to 85. Now, it could work out where maybe he gets to 79 and six deserving walk-ons get a scholarship. But still, at least he has those kind of options. And I think it's great for Penn State. It's great for the Penn State fans who have been unbelievable during all this. I mean, the fan base has been, I can't say enough. I mean, I know I spent my summer going around to different groups, and that's the first thing I talked about. I talked about how great the fans have been, that Penn State is not in this position without their fan base. It's not. I mean, showing up all the time, being enthusiastic, being encouraging, questioning. It's okay to ask questions. Nothing wrong with asking questions. It's part of dialogue. It's all part of dialogue, and dialogue's important. And fans have raised important questions over the time. Fans have asked questions that certainly made me think. Okay? It's all part of what they've been able to do. And to see this happen today and essentially get 2 years cut out, That changed a lot of things. It's also healthy for the Big Ten as well. As we know, the Big Ten, and then, you know, what happened this weekend has nothing to do with what happened with Penn State. I mean, believe me, you don't think they didn't know, you know, the NCAA and the Big Ten didn't have a pretty good feeling as to what was going to be happening this week. I think it's a pretty good idea they did. I don't think this is one of those moments where people in power are like, oh my goodness, really?
Shocker.
I don't think so. Yes, I think they knew. But for the Big Ten, which did not exactly have what you would call a marquee weekend, and there are other factors, too. Remember, the NCAA has added 3 bowl games this year. That means they need 6 more eligible teams for bowl games. So there are a lot of factors that come into play in this. And the bottom line is you look in a locker room, and you look around at all the young players in that locker room, and you look at the coaching staff, and you say to yourself, okay, now exactly what did you guys do to have Penn State in this spot? Oh, that's right, nothing. Whenever a situation comes up, and I've been a big believer in this for 30-plus years, you try to look into the individuals that are accused in a case, and then you try to find out guilt or innocence, and you try to find out what the truth is and assess a fairness to that truth one way or the other. If the truth is ugly, let the fairness be ugly. If the truth is benign, let the fairness be benign. But you can't just throw a blanket over, okay, the whole group, and that's it, you're done. And everybody's looking around saying, what did I do? You know, I went to class, I showed up for practice, I played in games, you know, and you're telling me now that I can't do things like other student-athletes because of what? And I think it's always important, no matter what, that, you know, we always remember the root of all this, and there's been a trial, and a man is in jail for it. You know, No matter what the number happens to be, you know, there probably isn't any numerical compensation that's enough for any pain and suffering anybody's gone through. So, I mean, you always have to remember, no matter what, that part of it. I'm just talking now, because this is a sports show, about the competitive part of it. And I would hope that, in fairness, those understand that it's a sports show, and that's why we're talking about that part. It doesn't mean we haven't forgotten the important part. So. You leave me?
No, yeah. No, I'm listening intently. I know one of the questions.
Well, I know after the opening hour, you're gassed.
I had to work. You know, it's terrible.
Like,
I actually had to put in some effort now in this first hour. Come on,
man. Yes.
I know one of the things.
I was actually on the entire. People don't realize. I apologize, but I was actually on the entire Joe Susan segment. But we couldn't get.
You could hear us. We couldn't hear you.
Exactly, and that's exactly, you know what, and that's exactly the same problem James Franklin had with Jack and me on Saturday. He was there. He was there, and he kept saying, "Hey guys, I'm here, guys, I'm here, guys," and he couldn't hear us.
What is it with him? He's having trouble with headsets this year.
Yeah, well, you know, that one may have been on us, but that that was the same story here. I'm sitting here and I felt like James Franklin. I'm looking around going, I can hear every word, because I heard all the MTO jokes. I heard I pulled over at the side. I heard, you know, I heard about what RJ Nitti did during the game. They talked about it was a close game, and that, and then Joe said, yeah, but you didn't score any points. I mean, so yes, I heard all of it.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I hope the listener enjoyed it as much as you did.
I actually started asking three or four questions, and I thought, I'm talking to myself here.
Ironically, they were nowhere near the questions I was asking, so you wondered why the answers didn't match up.
No. Yeah, it's exactly. I'd ask a question, and like, what does that mean?
By the way, we should say the Big Ten did release a statement, and the Council of Presidents and Chancellors agreed today to restore Penn State's eligibility for the Big Ten football championship game.
Well, it also means they get their bowl money, too. I mean, that's also part of it. And they have no choice but to restore Penn State to its Big Ten to eligibility,
right,
for the you know, they have no choice. I mean, you know, that's very kind of you. I don't even know why a vote was needed on that, but that's fine. Reason being is that they're eligible. Penn State, now, the reason you would not be eligible for the Big Ten championship game is that if you are bowl ineligible, you cannot risk Penn State winning the division, playing in the championship game, winning it, and you lose your automatic bid because they're bowl ineligible. That's the only reason why you're denied playing in the championship game. So,
well, they're,
you know,
they're
but this,
the...
You know,
No, that's all right. I was going to say, they're the only ones, though, they're the only entity so far that has addressed the other side of this that I know a lot of fans will be talking about in the coming days. And I know we want to look at this. We want to look at what's now available, all the scholarships, the postseason berth, the opportunity to play in a bowl game in the Big Ten championship game. But they are really the only ones that addressed the fact that it, and the release says, the $60 million fine, vacation of wins from 98 to 2011, athletics integrity agreement, and five-year probation initially imposed by the NCAA will remain in effect, as will the official censure, five-year probation, and monetary fine equal to Penn State's Big Ten bowl revenue share during the probation period initially imposed by the Big Ten. That's the only one that really addressed that portion of it. The NCAA didn't really address that portion of it, at least in the release that they sent out.
Say that again. I need to hear all that again.
Okay.
And I apologize.
That's all right.
Because it was pretty quick.
Take me through
one by one.
Okay. The $60 million fine, the vacation of wins from 98 to 2011, athletics integrity agreement, and five-year probation initially imposed by the NCAA will remain in effect, as will the official censure, five-year probation, and monetary fine equal to Penn State's Big Ten bowl revenue share during the probationary period.
So Penn State doesn't get the bowl money back.
That's the way I see this, and that's what I wanted to ask you. does it look like they're not going to get the money back?
Well, okay, let me explain. Let me explain that part. I'm just doing a little bit of guesswork here.
This is a statement from the Big Ten that came out at about an hour ago.
Yeah. Let me. Okay. Let's the bowl money part. Let's take that. I wonder, and this is only me doing a little guesswork here. All right, so please don't sit back and go, Steve Jones said. I'm speculating like anyone else on this. The money, Penn State's bowl money, is supposed to be distributed among all 12, and now, of course, 14, but let's just say 12 because that's the way it was when it began, to each school in the conference. And then they're supposed to take that money and make a donation to a child abuse shelter or to an advocacy group that deals with child abuse. And I'm wondering, and I'm only wondering, if that money was a long-term commitment over the 5 years and they don't want to pull the money off the table from groups that need it. How about that?
That sounds reasonable.
That's the only part I can think of is that because I know I was told where Ohio State told me where their money went to which group, and Purdue told me where the money went to their group in Lafayette, and the other ones I'm not sure, but they're all basically the same. They're all basically the same in terms of what type of group it is. And I'm wondering, because of the charitable donations made, if the decision was made to keep that part in place because they wanted to make sure that they fulfilled the total donation.
Like the promise that was already made is what you're thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
A commitment was made. This is what we're going to do. And I'm only guessing. And so...
Well, that was the first statement I've seen that has anything toward, and I was referring not only to the money aspect of it, but I know a lot of fans are going to, the first thing they're going to ask is, what about the wins from 98 to 2011? Yeah. And that also talks about that.
Right. Yeah, that part's still in there, and that part is still in play, guys. I know that. Okay, and I knew that right off the top. That part isn't done yet. And I mentioned... Kevin asked me, Bob talked about, talking about the lawsuit and so forth. And I said, on this particular day, we'd stay away from it only because we'll just take the part, the quote, good news part today. Then we'll deal with other parts later. But the censure part, no offense, means nothing to me. Censure means zilch. Charlie Rangel was censured. Really? Is he still drawing a check? I mean, that's like being suspended with pay. And so that's never meant anything to me.
Well, as you've said many times, I think you were talking to Jack at one point and said, "Remember all those games we called we didn't call a win to?"
Right.
Something to that effect. Yeah, you guys were joking about the one time.
Yeah, they beat Navy, and that says the first win we've ever announced.
That's what it was. There's the first win we ever announced.
Yeah. That part makes no sense to me at all. Zero. Has never made any sense to me, and I can't get anybody to explain that. But I'm not going to quibble about that today. There'll be another day to do that. There's another day to do that. I think... For this football team, it was very important that they find out today, if not today, but before the week was out, what they're playing for this year. They go into the Rutgers game, their Big Ten opener on Saturday night, and they know they, like the other 13 schools, have a chance to win the Big Ten championship if things fall right. Okay? They know, like the other 13 Big Ten schools, they can play to go to the Rose Bowl. And James Franklin knows, in recruiting, he can get his program to 85 scholarships if the door's open. Now, I don't know numerically if they can get to 85 next year. Because it's going to, because I haven't done the math yet to see how many guys would be off this team and whether or not, you know, does it work out where it's a small class and you're going to lose 12 scholarship guys? Now you're at 60. I guess you could do it then, or they're just, you know, are there 9 guys? And now you're at 63, or you have a bigger class, and say, for example, you lose, let's pick a number. Well, they're at 72 right now. Let's say they lose 18, get scholarship guys. Let's say they lose 18, all right? Well, now you're at 54. You physically can't get to 85. You can get to 79. See what I mean? I don't know what the math is.
Well, statistically,
at the moment,
from a statistical standpoint, is it 20 scholarships different? Like flat numbers, not legitimate scholarships, but flat numbers. It's 20 scholarships different from this year to what's going to be available next year?
Well, no, he had 25 scholarships available to him this year.
So how many more, what I'm saying is how many more, just from a number standpoint, not actual, but from a number standpoint, how many more are available for the next season?
Well, the max is 25.
Okay.
And he was allowed to take the max. My question is, does taking 25 get you to 85?
Right.
And that's the part I don't know, because they're at 72 right now.
That's the number I was looking for, was 72. That's the one I was looking for.
Right. They're at 72 right now, and actually only 69 are playing at the moment, because Miles Diefenbach, Ben Klein, and Jake Kiley are all out. So they only have 69 eligible players at the moment. I mean, see how close they are actually to 65? I mean, they're actually very close to 65 now. So I don't know how many guys, you know, even if you lose 13 guys, the max you can get to is 84. See what I mean? I don't know if you can get to 85 in a year or not. I don't know if you can. But that's something I'm going to have to sit down and actually crunch the numbers. Because the only numbers I've been crunching so far today have been 80, 81, 84, 87, because those are all the interstates I was on.
You know, the other thing I was thinking, and I think I said this in the first half hour of the program, look at what the staff has done with the limited scholarships that they've had, and they're already top five, right, even top three in some recruiting outlets.
Yeah.
What are they going to do with a full slate of scholarships? You know what I mean?
Well, I think winning 17 games and, you know, winning 17 out of 26 games, I think has been one of the truly remarkable accomplishments I've seen in college football. I mean, when you think about it, because they really felt they had to knock this thing down to the low 60s right away, and they did. I mean, they were down to, I think, the 59 scholarships last year, and they played in the Wisconsin game, I think, with only 36 or 37 eligible scholarship players and won the game. And it depletes your numbers, it depletes your depth. Now this gives James Franklin, long-term, a chance to rebuild that depth quickly and give the program more lasting strength. So it's also good for the Big Ten. The Big Ten needs to have, at full strength, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nebraska. Conference needs that, too. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory area Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Steve Jones in the Sunbury Motors Studio Mobile today in Troy, New York, as the State College Spikes look to finish off the New York Penn League tonight against Tri-Cities. A win will allow them to do it. A loss means Steve gets to spend a night in New York State, that is.
Oh, come on. No.
You're looking forward to it. You know it.
No. No, I did bring golf clubs, but that's my only concession.
That's only. I will stay only if I'm allowed to play around.
No, I tell you, no. Let's just okay.
All right, how about they just win it all, and then you can come back to the Sunbury Motors Studio in the Chateau.
You got that right.
All right, done deal.
All right, I like that. All right, obviously a big day. Let's just very quickly on the Ray Rice thing. The one thing, if I'm the NFL, I'm hoping for is that Roger Goodell never saw the video.
Yeah, that's true.
I had said originally I thought an 8-game suspension was warranted because, as I pointed out, I said that those that had seen the video claim it's not good. Well, now all of you have seen the video. Now all of you know it's not good.
I think the biggest issue here is the NFL really, whether they saw the video or not, the NFL really has an image issue right now. And I think the commissioner is going to have to figure out a better way to address this. And I don't think it's going to work by just saying from here on out, it's going to be more severe.
They'd do something. There's no out here for them in that regard. And I'll be honest with you, the Baltimore Ravens have not looked good the entire time.
Yeah, they have some blame too. You're right.
Some? What do you mean some? They employ him. Okay? And by continually washing their hands and saying it's a league matter, no, it's also a Baltimore Ravens matter. When Bruce Pearl was suspended for 8 games a few years ago when he was the head coach of Tennessee, the NCAA didn't suspend him, you know. Okay? The SEC suspended him. Okay? Okay? You are allowed to take matters into your own hands. And I thought the entire time they took the cowardly way out. They should have suspended him right away, made their statement, and then said, and if the league wishes to do anything additional, let them. Okay? That's how you had to handle it. They handled it all wrong. All wrong from day one. We can talk about the league and Roger Goodell all we want, but the Baltimore Ravens are still his employer. They aren't any longer. They released him today. But for me, from day one, they should have been the ones that stepped up in a leadership position if they saw the tape, and supposedly they did. Supposedly they did. Well, they should have been the ones to step up in a leadership role and said, look, this is what we're doing. You know, we're not even going to bother waiting for the league. And all they did was just sit there, mute. And then, when the two-game suspension was announced, acted like it was a good thing. Right? Every press conference, it's a good thing. Shame on them. You know, it goes more to the Ray Rice story goes beyond image. The Ray Rice story goes to actions against women or an action by a man against a woman. And I don't care about image or about branding or anything like that when it comes to this. A man struck a woman regardless of what she was doing. Struck her, I think, in the face, right?
That's the way. I have not seen the video. I don't know if I want to see the video, but that's the way I understand it.
No, actually, I'm going to take a look because I'm sure that it's somewhere.
Oh, it's definitely somewhere on your favorite website, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I'm sure that it's not going to take much to find it. I've had it described to me in detail, which was really good.
Now, I believe you'll find it on the...
The problem that they've been having with the TMZ site is so many people are trying to download it. Of course, the hotel, the casino's out of business now. It's part of the Atlantic City Purge.
Yeah, which one was that? I don't remember which one it was. Was that the Showboat, or was that the Revere?
No, it's not. No.
Let's see, because those are the one, those are the two that closed recently.
Okay. They're walking into the elevator, whatever. You know, they're about maybe 5 feet apart. They walk into the elevator. Elevator closes. And this is courtesy of TMZ. Now the elevator's door is going to close. The elevator door closes. They're in there. She pushes the button, and then all of a sudden, boom. She walks to him, and he cold cocks her. Right in the face.
And by the way, it is the Revere. The hotel that no longer open.
Yeah. And the she Revere. Falls back and she hits her head. She hits her head on the railing in the back of the elevator. I mean, you know. And see, my whole point about 8 games was as follows. It's half a season. It's without pay. But still allows him to mend his life and also allows him to still earn some livelihood for he and his family. I thought, you know, in looking fair, well, now after all this, you know, you can't, you know, I mean, they had to release it. But the Ravens, to me, they're the ones that seem to be getting away with some of the hit here. The NFL has absorbed all of it, and Roger Goodell has absorbed a big chunk of it, and justifiably so, because 2 games, as you sit back. But the Ravens did nothing. Now, do we have a call, Kevin?
Yeah, I was going to say, I got Bob from Hanover on the line for you, Steve.
All right, Bob, how are you today?
Oh, good. First of all, I want to disclose that I am a Ravens fan.
Good.
But having said that, why isn't there more criticism of the legal system for being so light on him? I mean, you can blame it on the NFL, you can blame it on the Ravens not handling that right, but isn't our legal system failing us for being too lenient in something like this?
Bob, I'm completely with you. I don't quite understand why it's played out legally the way it has. Maybe Bob Buhner can answer that. But when you have graphic evidence such as this, because I don't care what she said to him.
Right.
I agree. Having that nothing justifies that. You're a man. Be a man.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a problem. Walk away. Okay?
Before the video.
Ignore.
Before the video. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's
going to happen.
Before
the
video's
released, I did question if it would have been something like she punched him and he pushed her and she hit her head. That may be a mitigating circumstance, but that's obviously not the case in this situation.
Yeah, and it turned out it's not that at all. And
yes.
When you see it, it's just regardless of what led up to that moment. There's nothing that could have led up to that moment that could be justified unless she had, for example, say she had a weapon, a knife, a gun, something like that, and he's protecting himself. Okay, fine. Okay, now we take that off the table. You watch the video. You know, she's just walking, and whatever the argument or the problem or whatever it happened to be is irrelevant to the result. Because
I agree.
The result
yeah,
is the whole thing. a man with a closed fist striking a woman. And now I don't know if the punch knocked her out or whether hitting her head on the railing knocked her out. That's the part we don't know. But that's even irrelevant as to what did what the result happened to be.
I just wish some of the powers to be would put a little more pressure on the legal system to be a tougher on these people.
Yeah. That's an interesting question, Bob, because you know, you and I both know, and it's the police had access to the video.
Right.
Because the police said they had the video. I mean, they haven't shied away from saying they didn't have it. They did, and I think you're right. That's another part that needs to be discussed.
All right. Hey, thank you, guys.
Hey, Bob. On a lighter side,
hey, Bob.
You're the IndyCar fan from Hanover, right?
That would be me.
All right. Are you happy with a Willpower championship run?
Oh, yeah, I think he's deserving. He's been in the run for 3 years now, and it's probably about time that he finished it off. So, yeah, I'm not really a fan of his, but I think he deserved it. Yeah,
I would agree with that as well. Not really a fan, but, you know, when you're second so many times, sooner or later it's got to happen for you.
Or at least you hope it would.
Right. Sorry, Steve. You know, IndyCar fans have to stick together. That's all there is to it.
Two major stories and now we get a hijacking. two major stories and now we get hijacked.
Bob's the only other IndyCar fan I have right now, so you know I have to take advantage. Hey, thanks for calling, Bob. Appreciate it.
Okay. Yep. Bye now.
Well, then let me suggest something to you, Kevin.
Uh huh.
Text back and forth.
Find a new sport. I thought that's what you were going to say. Steve,
no,
David.
I was going to say text back and forth.
Dave in Sunbury is next up on the line.
Hi, Dave.
There we go. Dave, I got you now.
Okay.
What's on your mind?
Hey, Dave. Great to hear from you. How are you, Dave?
Steve, just a quick observation. Do the players always give you a thousand excuses, but an owner owns up right away, takes the punishment, and moves on?
Hey, Dave, I need you to turn your radio down, if you would, or go into a different
room.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Now, go ahead and ask your question again. Why do the owners take the punishment right away? Is that what you said?
Yeah, why do the players give you a thousand excuses, but an owner will pull it up right away, admit his fault, and take the punishment and move on?
I don't know, Dave. I think part of it is that you're talking about like Ursay, for example, as opposed to
the wide receiver from Denver, Ray Rice, and his excuse when his wife was up in that balcony watching him, and he threw her basically under a bus till he finally came out and mentioned her name about three press conferences later.
Well, I'm not going to generalize between player, owner, fan, or anything like that. I think everything's just done on an individual basis. I think it's just more the character of the individuals as to how they react, as to what their position happens to be. You know, the Welker thing is bizarre. I have a tough time believing him. Ray Rice, I never believed. I know Ray Rice has a great community service record and so forth. I do understand that. But
closing up your fist and hitting your let me finish. Closing up your fist and hitting your then fiance in the face takes a lot of that community service out the window when he did that.
But you know, Joe Susan kind of talked about that in the first half hour, or in the first hour. You know, he said one act changes a lot.
Yeah,
that's true. Because he had a lot of goodwill going until he closed his fist.
And here's the issue, Dave, too. Yeah. It is one thing for you and me and Kevin to, quote, hear about it.
Right.
It then changes all the dynamics when we see it.
This is true.
And because we've all of us have access to seeing it, it then really entrenches our opinion as to what the penalty should be.
Yeah, well, I thought the league, to be honest, handled that all wrong from the get-go.
Right.
Because they have all these
punishments
for drugs and stuff. Then they only passed out that two-gamer. so they had to backtrack on
right.
him while everybody else blistered him about it.
Well, I had said originally myself, even without access to the video, 8 games without Peg.
Yeah.
Half a season. And you see the video now, and that's without seeing the video.
That's true.
So I thought I was being pretty tough without seeing the video. Now seeing the video, you know, it would have been a whole season without pay, and then go from there.
Yeah, well,
but the Ravens could have done this too, you know.
This is true.
I mean, the Ravens could have done this too. All right, you know, they just kind of sat there and went, well, we'll just let the league handle it. Oh no, you're big people too. I mean, you're adults. You happen to pay a salary. You can handle it.
Well, yeah, and I thought about the general manager. But why didn't he go forward? Because he's getting paid a half decent salary to be the general manager, manage.
Yeah. And of course they handle the Saints thing with Sean Payton and so forth. I mean, Sean Payton gets an entire season for Bounty Gate. Now he's not subject to the collective bargaining agreement. He's management.
Right.
But you know, but you see this, and you sit back and say, oh, you know, the second you see it, it's obvious what you have to do.
I'll be honest, if I wanted to call in about the sanctions and stuff being lifted and stuff, but with that whole other deal, you know, with like Ray Rice, you know, other things got pulled up to the front of the line. I'll let you go and listen tomorrow, and you guys have a great day.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, thanks, Dave. We're going to take that last break right here. Today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We'll be back in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, welcome back. For Penn State, the bowl ban is lifted and the scholarship's completely restored. Not everything is off the table yet. Which includes the wins. They're still in a probationary period that lasts 5 years. So, in other words, there's nothing. If they do anything where they step out of bounds in any way, shape, or form, then they have deep trouble. Now, they haven't even come close to that, obviously. But that probationary period still exists. The 111 wins, actually 112 because Tom Bradley is one of them. That's still off the table. Hasn't been taking it, nor will they get bowl money. They can go to a bowl game, but they won't get bowl money for it because it's only my gut feeling. My gut feeling is that there's money already committed in Big Ten cities, and to shelters and also programs that deal with child abuse, and that money's going to be needed to be committed properly to that. So that's only a guess on my part. If I'm wrong, somebody can then step forward and say, no, that's not the case. But that's only my gut feeling ahead of time here. So, you know. Now, it's only going to be temporary, but my credibility with Jack Ham is temporarily restored.
Your credibility with Jack Ham is temporarily restored?
Yeah, I told him a year ago I thought the bowl ban would be lifted this year. And he says, you're way out in a limb, man. You're way out in a limb. And he, of course, I get a call every week. Your credibility's at stake.
Your credibility's at stake.
No, in fact, he's calling me right now.
Of course! It's between 3 and 5. It's automatic.
I don't know. Well, he was playing at a charity golf tournament today, and because he's playing, so he doesn't know it's 5 o'clock yet. You know, that's the reason. Why.
But if he's calling on his phone, the phone has the time on it. You need to make sure he downloads the Sunbury Broadcasting WKOK app. Then he can listen to the show, and then he knows if you're on the air or not.
Don't you think he suffered enough? He's going to work with me hours and hours a week. Don't you think he suffered enough? Poor guy. Well, interesting day. There was an old saying back in ancient China. I don't recall the philosopher who said it, but the saying went as follows. May you live in interesting times. I think we live in interesting times. For the current players, it's a great day. They know when they go to Rutgers, they, like the other 13 teams, have a chance to play for the Big Ten Championship. They know with four more wins, plus they can go to a bowl game. And they deserve that feeling, because they've done a long list of right things over the past couple of years as players.